This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to the Best of the Drive. Catch up on the show here every day. Or listen weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's today's Best of the Drive.
Text line 913-576-7610. Let us know who you think was the winner of today's Oxcord battle. Starting next week when we all get back from vacation, we'll open it up to some celebrity guests and have some people come in and participate in the Oxcord battles to help get us through the summer. But, Rob, I felt like you really handled your own there. You really struggled that first one. I don't think you put up a really good showing. A lot of it's just repetition. I think you got a much better feel for the game. You've put up two very strong showings these last couple of weeks. I think you won the last battle. Now, it ain't up to me. The text line typically is right on these kind of things, so I'll let them decide. 913-576-7610. But if I had a vote in this thing, Rob, I'd vote you the winner. I thought you won the Oxcord battle. Outside of the Justin Bieber pick, which I thought was a terrible miss on your part. But you know what? Even the 07 Patriots lost, that's going to happen. It's not about how you start, it's how you finish. I thought you finished strong, man. I'd give you the dub.
I felt good about my performance. You know, maybe like the 2021 Chiefs. Out the gate, a little slow, had to find my footing. But you know what? I boat raced Nick last week, and I feel good I got a win today.
All right. So this is what we would have started the show with today if we hadn't started the way that we had started. Yes, we're going to talk about your Kansas City Royals. I promise you won't be that bad. But the Royals have a new buzzword this year. It is accountability. Every time the Royals talk, they preach accountability. Whether it's holding the hitting coach responsible, whether it's holding the roster, the lineup responsible, they preach accountability. If they really stand by what they believe, if they are true people who practice what they preach, they cannot watch Nick Prado and see what he's doing down in the minors. They can't watch what the Vinny Pasqualino kid is doing down in the minors and continue to trot out Carlos Santana and Ryan O'Hearn. They can't do it. If the Royals really stand by this accountability method this season, they cannot continue to let those two guys continue to have the success that they're having in the minor league level and be blocked by two guys who are A, not performing well, and B, not part of your future. If Santana was Alex Gordon and you had signed him to a four-year deal and we're a year and a half in, I understand why Alex Gordon's got to continue to go out there and get ABs. If Carlos Santana was a player who was on the 14 and 15 team and you were giving him some extended grace and a little bit more rope to figure it out, I would get it. Carlos Santana's been bad since he's gotten here. Ryan O'Hearn hasn't lived up to expectations. You got two guys down in the minor leagues who are having great success. If you really believe all of this, it's time for you guys to make a change. The Vinny Pasqualino kid hit a grand slam today, had a bases clearing double. He's having great success in the minor leagues. Call them up. You want us to take you guys seriously? You want us to believe what you're saying? You want us to buy what you're selling? Put some actions to it. Because the only action I've seen so far is you fired the hitting coach. And, oh, we got numbers on the pitching coach, too. They ain't so hot. But I can't throw all that bad news at you at one time. So that's probably what we would have led with today. The Royals have been pounding the table about accountability, and everybody's got to do their part and do their job. All right, if you really believe that, you got a sunk cost with Carlos Santana. Let's make a move. You got young guys in the minor leagues that the fans want to see that I think have earned the ability to move up to the big leagues. Make that move. That's what I want to see the Royals do here over the next 7 to 10 days if they're really about what they've been trying to tell us.
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday, though. Like, fans have, I think, reached a crisis point with the accountability talk. I think fans now believe the accountability talk needs to be from John Sherman down, not Dayton down, not JJ and down. I think fans have reached a point where they're just so fed up with what they've seen for the last 7 years of baseball that the accountability to them is they want just new. They want fresh. They want different. I think Royals fans would like Vinny Pasquantino. They would like Nick Prado. But I think they've come to the conclusion that the people in charge who are selling us these prospects or these are the guys aren't producing guys. They aren't pumping out, you know, gold standard anywhere on the baseball field. So why do we trust them? I think no matter what happens with Prado and O'Hearn and Santana and Pasquantino, and I agree with you, that should have happened yesterday. It's an off day. Hopefully we get a story tomorrow that's like, by the way, Nick Prado and Vinny Pasquantino are in Minnesota. But I think we've reached a point now with fans where those sort of moves aren't going to appease them. They want major change. They want heads on pikes, and that's a really dangerous place to be for an organization that is preaching, we're coming, we're coming, we're coming.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't care how angry and frustrated you are. You also got to be realistic. There's three people that aren't going anywhere. The manager, the general manager, the club president. They ain't going nowhere. So at this point, I would say beggars can't really be choosers. And if you want to see some actions with the Kansas City Royals, you got to be willing to take, let's get the dead weight off of the roster, and then let's see what happens. But Mike Matheny is not going anywhere. JJ Piccolo is not going anywhere. Dayton Moore is not going anywhere. So if that's the only thing that you need to get you to buy back into the Royals, then you need to come back in like 2 years, because they are not getting rid of any of those individuals. Here's JJ Piccolo on Cody and Gold. Here's what he said on the difference between players and coaches when it comes with these issues.
If you ask any of our players, they're going to tell you they're accountable for it. They expect their performance to be better than it's been. Salvi's showing signs right now. Witt's showing signs right now. Carlos just got back, so hopefully they'll continue doing this series and into May what they did the last couple nights.
Okay. I'm not here to argue it. I'm not here to debate it with you. You said what you said. But actions over words. It's one thing to talk about accountability. It is one thing to actually hold people accountable. And the best way to hold people accountable in professional sports is to either take money away in fines or take opportunities away. Starts, at-bats, plate appearances. Start taking those things away. You want to hold Carlos Santana for hitting under 200? Give his job to the young kids. That's the best way to hold somebody accountable in your profession. So since, you know, we started today's show a little bit untraditionally, non-traditionally, that can only mean one thing.
We're where you want to be.
It's not the show start, but that doesn't stop us. It's today's random Royals lineup.
Just pretend it's 2 o'clock right now. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm pretending that right now is 2 o'clock, so I make the decisions here. We get to hear the random lineup today.
It's a rainy day. Doesn't seem like Kansas City's in a very good mood today. We got a holiday weekend. I'm going to get our spirits up. Today's random Royals lineup is from the year 2003.
Love it.
We believe, baby.
Love it.
Unfortunately, the Royals lost on this day in 2003. They lost in extra innings to the Oakland Athletics. Leading off for the Royals that day, at second base, Desi Relaford. At batting second, at third, random Royals Hall of Famer, Joe Randa.
Love Joe Randa.
Batting
Joe
third.
Randa has played for every Royals team.
He and Willie Wilson are just perpetually in these lineups.
Yeah, he's played for every Royals team. Joe Randa and Willie Wilson have played for 95% of the Royals teams that they've ever fielded.
Batting third, the first baseman, Mike Sweeney.
Hey, Mikey. How many All-Stars they get that year? Like three?
I believe they got three, yeah. McDougal, yeah. Harvey, and Sweeney.
McDougal. McDougal was an All-Star. Mm-hmm. He was an All-Star closer.
Batting fourth in left field, Raul Ibanez.
Raul Ibanez. Who doesn't?
Team meeting leader.
Raul Ibanez, veteran leader. Who's the Raul Ibanez of this team? You want to know why the Royals aren't winning? They don't have a Raul Ibanez. They don't have a vocal, emotional leader on their team right now. That's what you need to get over the hump. You need a 36-year-old. You need a 36-year-old at the end of his rope that just gives great speeches and can pump up the young guys. That's the backbone of any team.
Maybe that's why Santana plays every day.
No, he doesn't got to play. Raul Ibanez didn't play when the Royals got good. They just needed him around. They needed him around for morale and to be a veteran presence. And he was a great veteran presence.
Batting fifth, the center fielder, Carlos Beltran.
I love Carlos Beltran.
Batting sixth that day, the right fielder, Michael Tucker.
Batting I still remember Michael Tucker's walk-up song. He used to come out to The Man Right Chia by Mystical.
Great, great pull. Batting seventh, the DH that day, all-star Ken Harvey.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
I don't care. He's only been on one time. There's no reason for Ken Harvey to come on more than three times, so he's not eligible for friend of the show, but I can nominate people for friend of the show. Ken Harvey, friend of the show.
Batting eighth, the catcher, Brent Main. And batting ninth, your rookie of the year, Angel Baroa.
Angel Baroa got off to such a great start, and then it just completely faded away. Can you explain that to me?
Well, he wasn't very good.
I know, but he was good enough to win rookie of the year. I mean, as a rookie, he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal as a rookie. He hit .287, 17 home runs, 73 RBIs. He was great. And then he just, it was over. It's so sad.
The Royals lost a heartbreaker this day. Daryl May went nine innings, giving up three runs, but two came in the bottom of the ninth, pushing it to the 10th. And in the 10th, the Royals went with DJ Carrasco, who did not hold the line.
That was probably like 19 hosts ago here on 610, but I know they were hot that day.
It was a Sunday.
This is unacceptable.
I'm trying to see who had the walk-off. Yeah, I do not see who had the walk-off. Let's go head down to scoring plays. The walk-off was hit by Mark Ellis.
Mark Ellis!
Scoring Eric Burns.
Oh, man, Eric Burns. Who doesn't love a good Eric Burns?
Daryl May gave up a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth to Eurubio Durazco of the A's, which cost the Royals the day.
This is riveting.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing you try to pronounce these guys' names, riveting.
I mean, I'm not caught up on my A's batters from 03.
No, if there's one thing that we've understood in the last 45 seconds, we've got that part of that. Mm-hmm. Can I read you something really quickly?
Please do.
I just want to read something to you. I want to read to you guys the Royals pitching numbers. I don't have to present any comment with these. I just want to read them to you, and maybe at the end of it, we'll have a group discussion about it. This is from my guy, Alec Lewis. Does fantastic work. He writes for The Athletic. Staff ERA for the Royals, 4.91. That's good for 28th in Major League Baseball. Bullpen ERA, 4.86. That's good for 30th in Major League Baseball. Maybe you guys want some more advanced numbers, ERA you can manipulate. How about walks per nine innings? Is that a good stat? 3.94, good for 28th in Major League Baseball. We're back to that accountability word again. The Royals told us last week how important accountability was and how everybody in the organization holds themselves accountable. This is a new day, a new power structure, and things are going to be different this time. This doesn't feel any different. Their rotation stinks. Their bullpen stinks. Their offense stinks. They took Buck Knight away on Friday. Parking is $30. Accountability, though. That's important, Rob. You have to remember the importance of accountability and holding everybody accountable. Remember we held the hitting coach accountable. The hitting coach got fired, and their offense looks the exact same. They are bottom five in every significant pitching statistic. Everyone that matters, they are bottom five. Cal Eldred's still going on trips, though. Still eating the room service. Staying in the nice hotels. 10,000 thread count sheets and whatnot. Got extra leg room on the chartered flight. Not Terry Bradshaw, though. He's watching the games with a VPN. He can't even stream the games where he lives. But we're holding everybody accountable, though, Rob. That's important to remember. We're holding everybody accountable over there at Kauffman Stadium.
Accountability is super important. I mean, last year's hitting was good with the hitting coach. This year it started bad. You got to fire him. Last year's pitching was bad. This year's pitching remains bad. Seems like nothing changed, but the accountability can stop there because Cal Eldred is safe. We're good with Cal. The bullpen last year looked okay. This year is bad. Not just bad, real bad. Pitching coach, safe. I don't understand it. Was there a thought this offense was going to be some sort of behemoth and Terry Bradshaw held him back and this is just what people believe the Royals pitching staff to be? Because maybe me and you were off base. I thought the Royals pitching staff was going to progress. They had Zach Greinke. They had Brad Keller. They had Singer and Lynch and Coar and all this slew of pitching. And I thought, all right, this is the year. They've gotten their feet wet in 2020. They took in the teeth in 2021. They're going to progress in 2022, and everything's going to be gravy. You know what has happened? None of that. But the pitching coach, who had a bad 2020, a bad 2021, and now a bad 2022, is not held accountable. Despite the fact all we hear about is accountability.
This is The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs and your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. First to breaking news in Kansas City Sports Radio.
We do have some breaking news right now in the National Football League. We'll get to Mecole Hardman here coming up momentarily. But Colin Kaepernick, who last played in the NFL in 2016, is scheduled to work out this week for the Las Vegas Raiders. League sources tell ESPN that is courtesy of Adam Schefter. Colin Kaepernick getting an opportunity to work out with the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, oddly enough, a lot of you have formed your opinion already on Colin Kaepernick in the same way that we were just talking about in our last topic with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, two completely different cases, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. This seems very straightforward to me. History will look a lot better on the NFL if they let Colin Kaepernick back into the circle. We have enough examples of people who stand up for the things that Colin Kaepernick stood up for and how they are viewed 20, 30, 40 years later to know that the NFL will look much better if they simply wrap their arms around Colin Kaepernick now. I know we'll throw out this, well, he can be a distraction. No, he will not. You want to know how I know? Because wild things happen in the NFL every single week, and you know what happens? Sunday happens, and we move on. This just seems obvious to me. You bring Kaepernick into a situation in which he will clearly be their backup. For 24, 48 hours, it's a big deal. Everybody talks about it, and you know what happens? We move on from it. Americans don't care about things long enough to be fixated on something for more than 48 or 72 hours because the next best thing happens or the next controversy, the next scandal, whatever it is, happens so frequently in the world, especially in the NFL. Roger Goodell, you need to get on the horn and tell one team, just do this. Sign Colin Kaepernick to a backup role and then 10, 15 years from now, when we go back and we look back on it, the NFL can say, we might have made a mistake in the beginning, but we got a chance to right our wrong. We welcome Colin Kaepernick back. We's happy that he gets this opportunity. Kaepernick's never going to start in the NFL again. Hell, if he joins the Raiders, he probably won't play this year unless an injury happens. Just go ahead and do this. It will be the best thing for all parties involved. I don't know why this is so difficult. I hope that Colin Kaepernick makes the team. And once and for all, this conversation can simply go away on both sides. Whether you're pro-Kaepernick, anti-Kaepernick, if he just signs with the team, this conversation will go away. You want to know how I know? Because everything we talk about goes away in 3 days. We will not be talking about the Raiders' backup quarterback in week three. We don't talk about any team's backup quarterback in week three, unless they're a first-round pick. We know who their starter is. Sign them. Sign them to a deal. Good luck to Colin Kaepernick. He has a workout this week with the Las Vegas Raiders. Hopefully he signs with the Raiders, and we never have to talk about this again. And 10 years from now, he and Goodell will be standing there as he gets some award. That's how this ends. All right, back to the Chiefs. So, Rob, Mecole Hardman sat down with Adam Teicher of ESPN. And he is going into the final year of his contract. Now, God rest his soul, but Terrence Paylor used to always say, the contract year is undefeated. Well, Mecole Hardman is in that contract year, and the Chiefs don't have a number one wide receiver, and you could argue they don't have a number two wide receiver. They've just got guys right now that are all jockeying and fighting for position, and Mecole Hardman is in a great situation to step up and assume one of those roles. Quote, the opportunity is bigger. It's up to coaches, the coaching staff, to really see how they want to use me this year. It's up to me to be prepared for that. Quote, a once-in-a-generation type player has left the team, so somebody's got to step up and fill a role. I just want to be better than I was last year, get better as an overall receiver, kind of establish my name a little bit more. Catching the ball, running routes, yards after catch, everything I'm trying to improve upon. That's all we want to hear, Mecole. That's all we want. I haven't labeled Mecole Hardman anything. Not a bust. I'm willing to move off of the gadget player role that I have put on him. So let me go back on what I just said. I have called him a gadget player at times. I've called him souped up Tavon Austin at times. But this offseason, with the right work and the right emphasis and attention to detail, Mecole Hardman can be a really strong wide receiver for this team and put himself in a great situation. You have to be crazy to be a wide receiver in today's NFL and see the money that is being thrown around right now and not want to go hard to go get it. They're giving it away. They're not just giving it away to the stars. It's not like only the Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams guys are getting paid. Christian Kirk is getting paid. DJ Chark just got $10 million. That's more than Mecole Hardman has made in his entire career, what DJ Chark just got for this upcoming season. If you're not going to do it for the team, do it for yourself and for the paper. Do it for the money. A once-in-a-generation type player has left the team, so somebody's got to step up and fill a role. That person should be you. That's what everybody on this team should be feeling. If you're Juju Smith-Schuster, and you've been playing on one-year contracts for the last two seasons, and you're heading into another offseason, man, you know what you could really do? You could really show people that you're healthy. Show people, hey, what really held me back was playing with noodle arm Ben Roethlisberger. Look what happens when you put me in a good situation. Look what happens when you give me a good quarterback. I'm not making any noise. I'm not making any waves. I went out here. I balled out. I had 80 catches. I had 1,100 yards receiving. I had 6 touchdowns. Pay me. Juju, for the last 2 years, has been doing everything in his power to try to go get the bag, has been doing everything to try to go get paid. There's no better opportunity to get paid if you're a wide receiver than the 2022 Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think they have a favorite. I think the ball's going to whoever is open and whoever Patrick Mahomes trusts. And we know there has been some conversation about if Mahomes fully trusts Mecole Hardman. This offseason, it's about getting rid of that. It's about understanding the opportunity that is in front of you. And to his quote, it's up to me to be prepared for it. If you go ball out, there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That is not an opinion anymore. It's a fact. You can be a 25-year-old wide receiver who has never had a significant injury coming off his career season. Teams are waiting to give you money if that's who you can be this year. So maybe you don't get that money from Kansas City, and maybe you go play for the Philadelphia Eagles next season. But go get the money. Go ball out this season to put yourself up for the major second contract, Rob.
I agree with you, but I'll play devil's advocate just for the sake of this. We heard Andy Reid at the combine and said they found a nice little rhythm for McColl as jet sweep, you know, guy. They brought in MVS, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Sky Moore, plus him. There's now four capable NFL receivers on that roster. Combine that with what you've heard Andy Reid say about finding your rhythm for McColl. Isn't it possible the Chiefs have already quietly resigned themselves to what McColl is, and there isn't that step forward? And what we see from him in year one, two, and three is what we're going to see from him in year four, and that a year four guy whose numbers are extremely MVS-ish, there isn't a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. There's just a nice NFL check. You're the one yesterday who we talked about CEH versus Hardman career years. They're just too many mouths to feed to have one dynamic playmaker. Didn't that affect what he can do this season? There's just too many mouths to feed.
But if we know Mahomes is going to throw it 600 times this year, you're right. There are a lot of mouths to feed. There's not enough room for somebody to have 1,400 yards receiving. But out of the four wide receivers that they have, between MVS, Sky Moore, McColl Hardman, and Juju Smith-Schuster, two of them are going to get 100 targets. Kelsey's going to get 100 targets. Two other wide receivers are going to get 100 targets. And then everybody else will sort of get in where they fit in. If you get 100 targets, if you're McColl Hardman this season, you probably have 1,000 yards this season. You probably have 1,000 yards this season. If you're 25 years old and you're coming off a season in which you just had 1,000 yards in today's NFL, you get paid. You get paid. It's really that simple. Somebody's got to catch the ball. It's not just going to be Travis Kelce. Let's just go ahead and let's mark off Travis Kelce for having 1,200 yards this year. We think Mahomes is going to throw for 4,500, 4,800. There's 3,000 other yards that are available. A lot of those yards need to be mine, is what I'd be thinking if I'm McColl Hardman. I'm going hard this offseason. This is what I've been working for. I've been working to get to this point where I am on the doorstep of the money. So go get it. Somebody in this wide receiver group is going to get it, right? Somebody. We don't know if it's MVS. We don't know if it's Sky Moore. We don't know. Somebody's going to get to the money. I'd be thinking that need to be me then. Because if it ain't me, it's going to be Juju Smith-Schuster. And you know what Juju's not doing? If he comes off a year in which he's healthy, he has 81 catches for 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns, you're not getting him on a one-year, $4 million deal anymore. I need to get the same deal that MVS just got. I need to get taken care of financially. It's all right there for McColl Hardman.
Y'all said in that piece, though, that it's on the coaching staff, too. And at my point, Andy Reid said they found a rhythm for him. Maybe they're content giving him his regular targets per year. I don't have him in front of me. But maybe his regular numbers are his regular numbers. And they think they're going to divvy up the Tyreek Hill numbers across a Juju, across an MVS, across a Sky Moore. And he's going to get a little bit of that pie. But it's not like his numbers are doomed to explode. He said it's on the coaching staff. The coaching staff's offseason has said they like McColl, but they found a rhythm for him. Maybe he just is what he is. Just for the sake of devil's argument. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what he is.
You all right?
I got caught there. I got caught up in there. Tongue-tied. Advocate. Devil's advocate. I'm like, whoa, that was bad.
I don't know what just happened there.
I had a good point, I ruined it.
I'm just as confused as you are.
I had a nice point, I ruined it.
I'm just as confused
it's all my
as
fault.
You, my boy. I'm just as confused.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's take a break. Let's let Rob get some water, do some sit-up.
You're listening to Carrington Harrison.
We're not talking about Kansas on this show.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help. You know, I need someone.
So I was reading a story today that said 1/3 of NZ have no clue who the Beatles are. So Gen Z is young people between the ages of 16 and 23. They did a survey to ask them if they know who the Beatles are, and 1/3 of them had no clue who they were. And it got me thinking. Well, number one, this is up to the parents. How you typically discover older music is through the adults around. If you grew up listening to Motown or 90s R&B, or maybe you grew up listening to classic rock, you grew up listening to that kind of music because your parents listen to that kind of music. So if you don't know who the Beatles are and you're 16 years old, it's not really your responsibility to learn who the Beatles are. They ain't doing songs with Meg Thee Stallion. They're not doing songs with Doja Cat. Your mom plays this when you're in the car with her. Your dad plays this when he's cleaning up. And then you ask, hey, who is this? And then you find songs that you like and they pass it down to you. But what I really want to talk about is, Rob, I don't think people like the Beatles the way that they say that they do. This is why I think that. I'm out a lot of time in social settings around people who I imagine would love the Beatles. I don't ever really hear Beatles music out. For the Beatles to be as popular as you guys tell me that they are, why don't they have a song that's like Sweet Caroline? That just you hear all the time. You can't get away from it. Why don't they have a song like that, Rob? If you are ever in a situation in which you don't know how to play, or you don't know what to do, just play Sweet Caroline. Everybody goes crazy. When you're in a situation and you don't know what to play, nobody's default is ever, hey, turn on the Beatles. You might turn on Michael Jackson in that situation. No one ever turns on the Beatles in that scenario. Rob, I'm starting to think the Beatles are one of those things that people say they like because it's the right answer because you're supposed to like the Beatles, but no one really likes them in a real world sense like that.
I just think they don't have those club, get people fired up type of hits. Like, they're an acoustic band with a very mellow sound. It's fine. It's very popular. It's very well done. It just, you're never going to be at the other place having a beer, eating a burger, and be like, damn, the Beatles are on. This is amazing. That's never their aesthetic. They're more the Pearl Jam aesthetic. Not the same type of music, but you never hear Pearl Jam out. But Pearl Jam's wildly popular, and it doesn't mean that they're bad. They're just not the hear it out and about music.
Okay. Now, maybe I'm wrong in this thinking. And you guys can tell me if I'm wrong in this, 913-576-7610. But if you're considered to be the best, if people look at the Beatles as having the best band that has ever lived, Rob, you're telling me that people don't want to hear their music when they're out having a good time? We're not talking about they're going to play your song down at Aura, down at Mosaic. No one's saying that's the time to be playing the Beatles. You're telling me, Rob, if you go out to have a nice brunch and you're just sitting on the patio, you don't ever randomly hear a Beatles song just come on out of nowhere? How can you be the best if you ain't got no bops? They ain't got a song that you're tapping your foot to. They don't have a song that makes you get up and want to dance. They don't have any of that kind of music, but they're the best, though, right?
They do have that kind of music. It's just not club bangers by modern time. Come Together is an elite song that people know if you played out and about. Live and Let Die. Now, a lot of times you hear the Guns N' Roses version, but that's their song. You hear those songs out, you enjoy them. They're just not the, ooh, now we're vibing kind of songs.
Someone said, what about Come Together?
Great song.
It's a fine song.
Hear that at a nice brunch, having a Mimo on the patio? Great time.
You know what I never hear Come Together? When people are coming together. Next time you go to Power and Light and you're standing out and you're just having a beer, tell me when they play Come Together. That's the perfect time to come together, right? You don't hear it. I don't think you guys love the Beatles as much as you guys say you love the Beatles. I hear Rolling Stones music when I'm out, Rob. I hear Aerosmith. I hear some Metallica. I hear Bruce Springsteen all the time. I believe you guys love Elton John the way that you say you do. I don't think people love the Beatles like that. Maybe you did back in 1965. I don't know if you love the Beatles the way that you say they do. I just don't know. Because I'm not buying it. Rob, we just watched the NFL draft, right? It was music constantly playing. Did you hear them play one Beatles song? All those people there. They're the most popular band of all time. We didn't hear one. Not a single song. I'm not buying it. I'm not believing it. I'm not into it. Can you be the best if you don't have a song that makes you get up and shake your groove thing? You're not getting up and shaking your groove thing to come together.
I mean, you can be great and not have that song. The same way you can be terrible and have that song. There are eons of bands that have that song. We're like, oh, this is a good song. It gets me moving. But it's an objectively bad artist who just one-hit wondered their way to the top. The Beatles are just Steady Eddie, man. They got music where you're, where you're just driving around, going to and from work. You're like, I like this song. No one, when I turned it on to play leading into this segment, was like, boo, don't play Help. No one.
Text line 913-576-7610. CDOT, the Beatles make good house cleaning music. You can't be the best band of all time if you got relegated to Swiffer music. You can't be the greatest band of all time if you are now reserved to mop tunes. You're telling me the only time you listen to the Beatles is when no one is around. Because that's what house cleaning time is. Hey, it's Saturday morning. You're getting up. You want to hear something that puts you in a good mood because you got to do chores. No one wants to do chores. So you turn on some songs, some music to make the time go by a little faster. Sometimes I'm not always listening to hippity hop during this time. Sometimes you want to be in a different mood. If that's the ideal time to play the Beatles, then I always thought wrong about this. I thought you guys loved the Beatles. I thought they were your favorite. I thought they were number one. Obviously, I was wrong. So I read this story, and they said that a third of Gen Zers don't know who the Beatles are. And I don't put that on the kids. I put this on the parents. You're not passing the Beatles down because you know what I'm saying is true. One time you played the Beatles around your daughter, and she said, turn this mess off. And you never went back to it. That's not music we've passed down to the next generation, Rob, because no one likes it.
To be fair, how many bands from the 60s have we passed down to the next generation? Like, what group from the 60s are the kids nowadays on TikTok being like, woo, this song's great?
That's a good point. I don't know. I don't know what groups. I mean, we can find a lot of Motown music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s that people still sing and enjoy to this day. You hear out there like, oh, okay, all right, you got a little rhythm. You're out here shaking it. You're getting up. I mean, but nothing tops this song.
2, 3, here we go. Don't wanna wait till the sun's sinking. We could be feeling alright. I know you know what I'm thinking. Why don't we do
I'm not that shocked that you love Beatles. I'm not surprised. You seem like a Beatles guy from the 60s. Don't ever talk about the Temptations this way. Their music is held up. Guarantee you right now, go somewhere and play Come Together or play My Girl. Tell me who's getting up. Everybody's getting up with My Girl. It's an amazing song. How dare you guys speak. Rob, you know what I'm saying is factual.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.